Hello and welcome to Pod of Cricket, the very cricket podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with another four very passionate cricket fans around a microphone talking about cricket. We have Srinath. Hey, Srinath.
Hello.
We have Vinayak. Hi, Vinayak.
Hey, guys.
We have Sameer. Hey, Sameer.
Hi, everyone.
And we have the child behind this whole idea and the podcast, and that is Clive. Hi, Clive.
Hey. Hey, what's up? How's everyone?
All right, we are doing great, Clive, and we'll dive right into our inaugural episode, which is being recorded just about 18 hours before the Champions Trophy kicks off, or I don't know if you could say kicks off in cricket. But now we begin the Champions Trophy tomorrow. We are here to talk about that. Which will obviously be very India-centric and looking at a quick look at what your assessment of the tournament generally is, going around the table, maybe beginning with Clive.
Yeah, so about the tournament, yeah, like, I generally feel that, you know, the Champions Trophy is the better version of the World Cup because, you know, it's just a content teams, and so it's quality cricket. There are no boring, there or nothing like that. But the ICC has done a really poor job on handling how Champions Trophy works. So they have kind of made it like the second World Cup. By with 250 over tournaments, everyone knows that the World Cup is the one which matters, and Champions Trophy is just a side one, just money making business. So that's what has hurt the hurt Champions Trophy all this while.
Okay, but would the rest of you agree with that, Vinayak? Your take on
so that's an interesting point. I mean, we've been talking about this quite a bit. I mean, so it almost seems as if Clive is right. I mean, World Cup is the main event. But thinking back, you know, it's very hard to remember Champions Trophy that was not interesting, right? I mean, the Champions Trophy has always been the event where, you know, every game mattered and every game is of some consequence or the other. You know, there are very few dead rubbers. Some of the finals have been, you know, some of the most exciting games of cricket that I can remember. It's kind of sad that it's, you know, given this stepchild treatment, if you will, by the ICC, like Clive said. But I don't think that takes anything away from, you know, how exciting the tournament is. I'm looking forward to the next 18 days. You know, I mean, I don't think the organizers have done a poor job promoting it, at least. So at least in India, you know, we have seen the promos going on since the last 2 months. So the excitement has been building up. So I'm hoping for a good tournament again.
Okay. The first ad actually came out in January or something, if I remember right.
But
bringing in Srinath and Sameer into the conversation, gentlemen, your thought on the Champions Trophy as a format, as a tournament, what you're looking forward to there?
Yeah, I think on the contrary to what Clive said, I probably believe that the World Cup's not sold as well as it should be. In the sense that the World Cup should be the pinnacle of all the ODI tournaments, the limited overs tournaments that exist in cricket. And if the World Cup's got 10 teams and the Champions Trophy's got 8 teams, it kind of makes very little difference between the two tournaments itself. So I think the World Cup should be a much broader tournament in terms of how many teams take part and how longer the group stages are. It gives more number of teams to kind of have a shot at playing with the best. Champions Trophy, on the other hand, I see the closest parallel in the Confederations Cup in football. It kind of brings the top sides. You know that they've all done something to get here. They've kind of deserved to be at this platform. So I think the Champions Trophy is a fabulous tournament to have. It kind of lost the steam because the ICC has gone about dilly-dallying about whether it should be there, should not be there, whether they should play it in between World T20s or not. So the Champions Trophy kind of suffered from a perception problem or probably an image problem compared to the World Cup, but I think it's a fabulous tournament. Like Vinayak said, we've had some brilliant matches considering how it started off as an ICC knockout tournament. Every game mattered. It seemed the emergence of stars like Yuvraj Singh and Zaheer Khan and Marlon Samuels, I think, debuted in the 2000 edition in Kenya. So we've had so many of these stars come through. We've had the knockout format doing its bit. on sides, putting in the pressure. We remember the West Indies England final in 2004. So we've got great matches throughout each and every edition. So I think it's a great tournament. It just suffers from a little bit of an image problem. Absolutely agree with Nayak. I think they sold it really well in the sense that the ICC's got all kinds of sponsors. So the tournament itself doesn't suffer from any sort of deficiency per se, except that it has a little bit of a perception issue.
Okay. And Samir, your thoughts on this tournament, which you may have been too young.
I will agree with Srinath. That the knockout trophy quite brings the charm into the knockout thing quite brings out the charm into the Champions Trophy. And you know, it's not like the World Cup, you know, where you lose two games and you still have a chance to bounce back in the tournament. In Champions Trophy, like you lose two games, you're out of the tournament. But I really hope, you know, that rain doesn't play a spoil sport in England, because that was the problem last time, you know, when we saw half of the matches getting washed out.
True. Yeah.
Only thing issue I have about Champions Trophy being played in England. Otherwise, I'm really looking forward to the next league.
We might end up having quite a few 2020 matches, you know, if last edition was something to go by.
Exactly, you know, exactly.
We last had a 2020 time, final for the 50-over tournament.
Yeah, that
if
was...
You remember last year, I think that was Pakistan game.
Oh, yeah,
many
that's
true. Troubles between, yeah, between, you know, you're going to
I think there's rain forecast even for the next match as well. India-Pakistan, there's rain forecast for the whole day.
So, oh, really? That's...
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if that, then we don't get full 50 overs there. Full 100 overs match, I don't think so. But let's hope so.
That'll be disappointing.
Yeah. Because we have built it up a lot.
Yeah. Tariq, I know you're kind of hosting this, but I just wanted to bring you in as well. You know, it shouldn't be just you hosting it. You should have your say as well. What do you feel about the format in terms of, you know, you could end up winning the tournament if you have three good days, right? Is that something deserving of the Champions of Champions tag that, you know, this tournament comes with?
I think it possibly does. I mean, if you think about most of the big tournaments, you could win an ATP World Tour final with the same thing. You need like three good days and you could be the winner at the end of the year tournament. The same thing kind of applies to some of the major football tournaments also.
Wait, isn't it four good days? It'd be like
four good days, yes. Yes, true. Four good days.
Yeah, four good days. With the semi-final also.
I have to win the semi-final. That's true.
Well, I five like the last time.
But nonetheless, given the format, I think it's a acceptable international format. So I wouldn't think it places too much of a disadvantage, because eventually whoever you get is a winner. It's not as much of a crapshoot as, let's say, the tournament was, because of right first and second tournaments, which were outright knockout tournaments.
Knockouts. Yeah. Yeah.
So that way, this one at least gives you that reasonable chance. So it's not exactly a lottery as such. So I think it's only fair. The only thing, like Samir pointed out, is the weather. That in England, weather could make it so that the equation could become, you know, even 2.5 good days would do it for you, or for some amount of
true. True.
Okay. And speaking of the weather, and speaking of the India-Pakistan game, we can get into the meat of the podcast, or what we specifically wanted to discuss, and that, of course, would be India's prospects at the tournament. So we'll again probably go around the table in terms of the burning question. India seem to have this problem of plenty, or are we being misled a little by the results in the warm-up games?
I guess I'll start with that. I mean, I'm not sure if India, Kohli does have a selection headache that I don't think Dhoni ever had in his, at least last few years as a captain, you know, too many fast bowlers. I don't think that ever was a problem for Dhoni. Kohli has a good problem in that sense. It's very likely that, you know, he's not going to be able to use all the fast bowlers at his disposal, especially with Hardik Pandya sort of nailing his place as a seeming all-rounder. So he has a problem of plenty, but speaking broadly about India's prospects in the tournament, my biggest concern till a couple of days back was the fatigue factor. considering the long, the never-ending fun home season that we had, and the IPL to follow that. I had a feeling that the fatigue factor is going to play a big role. I know some of them have been rested. You know, some of them didn't play the entire IPL and all that. But the fatigue factor, I think among all the teams, India is going to be the one the most. That was until a couple of days back. I thought that was the biggest problem. But now, you know, with everything that's going on with the rumors about the rift in the team and all that, that makes me wonder if, you know, India is preparing the right way. I'm not as confident I was about the prospects of India winning the tournament, you know, a few days back as I am now.
Okay. And what about the others? Do you guys think
with us? So, yeah, I like to go. The thing is with what I was thinking, I was just looking at all the numbers for the past years and all that. And the thing is, India's bowling is the weakness. Like, in the last 2 years, our major weakness was our bowling, because our batting is good enough to chase whatever our bowling gives away. But the thing is, our bowling has improved so much, and I think the way we have gone about in the two warm-up games, those problems, as Vinayak said, are good problems to have, really. Like, should we have, like, I don't think so. Dhoni ever had this problem, you know, which all bowlers just like, our job was to, like, you know, control what the pacers do, what damage the pacers do, the spinner that is asked to have to, you know, try to make up in their 20 overs. So that was one thing. But now, since I think our bowlers improved, we still have that chance. But as if we know about the rift between Kumble and Kohli, Kumble and the team, we need to see how that works around. I think these guys are professional enough to let that go and, like, you know, come together for a major tournament. So hopefully that works. But at least India should be making it to this finals, because that's how good a side they are compared to the rest. Like, for me, England, India, and then South Africa come next in the fray.
Okay. And Srinath and Clive, I'll put a more specific question to you, which is that, so who are the bowlers that you select in this case, since you have this problem of plenty?
Yeah, I think I'd probably think that Umesh Yadav kind of picks himself in terms of his wicket-taking abilities, and Bhuvneshwar Kumar has to play in England. So I think those two slots are kind of locked. After that, I guess we kind of weigh the option of whether to pick two spinners or just go with a single spinner. And my hunch, seeing the first two games of the warm-up games, is that Jadeja might just get the nod ahead of Ashwin, as counterintuitive as that sounds. Jadeja is kind of the guy who, every time his captain wants one. I mean, he seems to be a troubling batsman with what feet to attack the ball with, whether it should come forward or go back. And most of the time, when a batsman thinks that he has enough time to go back foot, Jadeja seems to get him LBW or get him bowled. So I think in these conditions where he doesn't really spin much, it's more of a game of varying pace and the length, I think Jadeja might just get the nod ahead of Ashwin, which leaves open. So, which is between Bumrah and Mohammad Shami. You'd probably not drop Shami 9 out of 10 times, considering how well he bowled in the 2015 World Cup in Australia and bouncy conditions. But I guess seeing recent form and his form with the depth, I think Bumrah might just get the nod ahead of Shami. So, my attack would probably be Bhuvneshwar, Umesh, Jadeja, and So I think that would be my four-man attack, with Hardik Pandya probably chipping in as the scroller. The other problem, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying as the all-rounder. So the other problem you were saying is?
Yeah, the other problem I see, the bigger problem for India is probably the middle order. Because I think the top sides, if you look at the three sides Clive mentioned, England, South Africa and Australia, is that right?
England.
Yeah, so
England, India, and South Africa.
Yeah, so I think India probably lacked that finisher at the depth. Probably, I mean, only Hardik Pandya is probably the guy who can hit out like he showed against Bangladesh. But his form's been kind of hot and cold throughout his ODI career so far. It's been a brief kind of career. But I think India lacked that late order hitter, like probably England are filled with. South Africa have got the likes of Morris, who can turn a game on his own. They've got Miller in the lower order. India have got a lot of these accumulators. I mean, they've got a DK, they've got a Jadhav. They've all shown they can hit, but can they do it in England? So I think that's probably one question. Yuvraj is the other big question. I think India will pick him for the first game, considering it's a big fixture against Pakistan. But I think Yuvraj, I don't think merits a place in the side because he's missed the warm-up games. He's not played an ODI in England for 10 years. You just look back at the numbers. So, considering the conditions and his own the first two warm-up games, I'd probably bench Yuvraj. But I don't think team management would. So, I think those are the two big questions. The role of the finisher in the middle order itself. Who would you pick?
And Clive, anything different or a similar pick?
No, I was thinking of the same thing. Like, you know, my main issue would be between Dinesh Karthik and Yuvraj Singh. And as Srinath said, that Yuvraj Singh has not played many games. First of all, he has missed the two warm-ups. And Dinesh Karthik having a great season, he has warranted a spot in this time.
I'd like to comment between. I'll say that I guess I will prefer Yuvraj above Dinesh Karthik. And, you know, this is going to be a big match, India versus Pakistan. And considering Yuvraj's ability as a big match player, Dinesh Karthik, you know, he may find it tough at the highest level. And I will go with Yuvraj, considering ball better than Dinesh Karthik. Both are vulnerable against spin, so I won't say about that, but I feel, you know, like Yuvraj will come good in a high pressure game.
Is there a case to be made for both? I'm just throwing a question out there. Maybe Tariq can take this. Is there a case for both Yuvraj and DK to be part of the 11 with Kedar Jadhav sitting it out? That's kind of what we wrote today. We had a discussion.
Kedar Jadhav would provide you the kind of, and in the last 5-10 overs, you know, he's a good hitter. We saw it against the series in England where, you know, when both Dhoni and Yuvraj had got out, he was the one, you know, who like took the innings forward, took the game till the end. So I think Jadhav would be maybe foolish, which I guess.
Yeah, because Jadhav is one of the other, you know, like finishers we have. Like, besides Dhoni, he's one guy who can be like groomed to finish. So I think dropping Jadhav could be tricky.
Okay, so
it's a very tough call. I think either way, Tariq, where do you stand on that?
No, so where I stand on this is, I would probably look at that gamble of looking at Dinesh Karthik, given his recent form, and Yuvraj Singh, given his historical success and conditions, etc. Possibly gamble with those two, and maybe not have Jadhav. But honestly, I would not want to be the selector's shoes at this point, the team's shoes at this point, because this would also be a very conditions-driven thing, that you would look at the conditions in the morning and decide maybe the to go with. So,
my case in favor of Yuvraj and Dinesh Karthik both being in the 11 is that, I mean, Kedar Jadhav, as good as he been in the recent past, when it comes to conditions in England, I mean, Yuvraj hasn't played for the longest time in England, like Srinath mentioned. But I mean, Kedar Jadhav is playing for the first time in England too. So, in how familiar they are going to be with the conditions, I think Yuvraj gets the nod there, and DK purely on form. So I think it will be slightly unfortunate, but I would see Kedar Jadhav getting benched in the middle order.
Like Mohammad Shami in the bowling.
Exactly, it is the same. I mean, Mohammad Shami was excellent in the 2015 World Cup, but he has not played a single 50-over match since then. So it's on form. It's Bumrah, Bhuvi, and Umesh. They pick themselves according to me, and I think that is my 11. You know, with Jaddu, like Srinath mentioned, and DK and UV instead of Kedar Jadhav.
I add that. I'll completely agree with Vinayak. I guess Umesh Yadav gets a nod above Mohammad Shami.
It's going to be really unfortunate for Mohammad Shami, because I think for the longest time he was seen as this spearhead of the Indian attack, you know, with the fast bowlers coming up, and he was seen as the leader even well into the home season, and then that injury happened, and I think the rest of them have just done so well over the remaining part of the home season and the IPL that I think Shami has been left a little behind. But if he does get a chance, I'm sure that he's going to give more headaches to Kohli the way things are going.
So that is the whole. It's been quite a while.
True, but he did get it. Ronki did hit him for a few.
that's the problem, guys.
Yeah.
So what we are looking at is after a long time discussing about an Indian squad where there are too many cities, you usually get on one side or the other, typically on the batting side, I guess. So that's where this is referenced. But to look at the other, everybody want to be the Cassandra here and talk about things that India would possibly be vulnerable in, because everybody has been talking about one of the favorites. But really, that kind of talk always unnerves me a little, because, you know, like you said, the hype train doesn't take long to crash. So, what do India guard against?
Yeah, so I think India probably will have an easy passage through the group stages in the league phase itself, because they're playing a extremely weak Sri Lanka side at the Oval, a venue where they've traditionally been pretty good at after the Pakistan game. So irrespective of how that goes, both the India, both the Sri Lanka and South Africa games are in at the Oval, and it's probably just a matter of stars flowing their way for the victory to be all but sealed. South Africa one might obviously be tricky with the Rawada, but I think it might not be, I mean, like pace attack might not be as effective in the Oval as they are at Lords. They just showed it against England just now. But I think so, two out of the three games winning in this group shouldn't really be difficult. But I think if they qualify as the winners of the group, they'll head to Cardiff for the semi-finals. I think it's probably India's it's probably, I guess, in terms of reaching the final, between them qualifying the group series and reaching the final. I think the semi-final in Cardiff could be tricky, because the other two venues, they're fairly familiar with it. If they run into a side that's strong on pace, maybe Australia at Cardiff, it could well be tricky for India.
Okay. And anybody else with any dire warnings for the Indian side?
No, I think Srinath pretty much nailed the point there, and I don't think I have anything to add. Except, I mean, the cliched thing would probably complacency. There is a chance that if we get off to a great start against Pakistan, there is a chance that we peak a little too early. These are all cliches that I'm throwing out there, but other than complacency and getting a very bad day in terms of the batting is probably what is going to be India's undoing, if anything. It is also like an extension to what Tariq said a little while earlier about the fast bowlers being, the bowling attack being so strong. I don't think we've ever been in a situation where we are so worried about the batting compared to the bowling, especially in an ODI tournament. suddenly, out of nowhere. So I personally see, if India don't end up winning the tournament, I think it's going to be because of the batting. The top order, the openers are, I don't think the openers are going to fire. If Dhawan fires, I don't think the other person is going to. The opening is a big weak point. Kohli, we all know, he doesn't have the greatest of records in England. And then the middle order, like we spoke, though there is a problem there, there is a headache there, but I don't think, they all are in such great, excellent nick that, we can be sure that the batting is going to click. I mean, we did score that 320 against Bangladesh, but I think if we do end out, India do end out, end up going out of the tournament earlier than, the final, I think it's going to be because of the batting.
Yes, that I completely agree with. And I was just thinking about the openers. The main problem is our openers are not in nick. And I was thinking that, if we can drop one of Dhawan or Rohit, I think most probably it would be Rohit now. We could use Dinesh Karthik to.
That is, left field. Out of the left field, but I really doubt that happening, especially with Rahane waiting. I don't think that is going to happen at all.
Yeah, oh, no, it's not happening.
It is a good idea. I'm on board. I'm a big Dinesh Karthik fan, so I would be all for it. But just.
It could have happened if it was the IPL, probably.
probably. That is a good idea, though. I mean, if you want some form at the top,
we shouldn't be over-reliant on Virat Kohli. Last time during World T20 2016, our whole top order, it started falling off. Like every game you open the, you switch on the TV and it's 10 for 3, and Virat Kohli comes out to bat, and then you have Yuvraj Singh and Dhoni guiding him at the other end. So I just hope we don't kind of fall in that situation, and you know, someone fires, like, one of Dhawan and Rohit Sharma needs to fire every game. Very important for us.
I think that the opener's form is going to be a big factor. Yes, you're right. I mean, I think that is going to be a huge factor in deciding how long we go in the tournament.
Yeah. Plus, I also feel maybe the middle order consisting of Yuvraj Singh and Mahendra Singh Dhoni. I feel like the last time in England when we lost the top three wickets, these two came to the rescue and, you know, formed a good partnership. But that's not going to happen all the time. So I just worry, you know, maybe a batting collapse may be on the cards. And, you know, that's where, you know, I feel that, you know, some things required.
This is a great point that you brought up, is that we might sink or swim based on how the openers go. The position that is most sinky out there, right? And we'll see how that goes. But I think we're kind of running out of time in terms of the pod. Clive, would you know if we have any time, or are we?
No, we have enough time, I guess.
We still have enough time.
I would personally want Clive to talk about the Pakistan team, because I personally know that he follows the Pakistan team quite closely. So, since we have had enough of India, you know, I would like to very much hear about the Pakistan team from Clive.
See, yeah, the Pakistan team, as usual, the same problems, the batting. They have Babar Azam, he's a really good batsman. Like when Mickey Arthur said he could be the future Virat Kohli, I think he gets cemented for Pakistan, because Babar Azam can bat, the kid can bat. But the rest of the Pakistan side, like the batting, is a bit iffy. It's like they're stuck in the 90s. Their bowling is, at one point, it's become worse. It's become far worse than what it was before. They're not really a bowling force anymore. They lack potency with their bowling. The only good thing is that they are spinners, Imad Wasim and the new kid on the block, Shadab Khan.
Exciting leg spinner.
Yeah, they both add something to the game, and both are good, decent batsmen as well. So who can provide? But the main problem is with Pakistan is the top 4-5 batsmen, they don't contribute much for their side, except barring Babar Azam. The rest of the batsmen are really, really way behind their game. So if for them anything to happen for them this tournament, their batting needs to fast forward from 1990s to 2000 and then move their game ahead.
Do you all agree that this is England's tournament to lose?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's kind of difficult to succumb to usual belief that they somehow bottle it, because last two times it's happened in their homeland, they've kind of gone all the way. West Indies lost in 2004, and last time when Ishan Sharma had to rescue it for India. if with those two sides they made it to the final and gotten really close, and if they lose with this, I think, yeah, they've kind of done themselves an injustice if they don't win it with this squad. But I think having said that,
they're the overwhelming favourites, I know.
Yeah, definitely. I think the bowling is a little bit shaky. What they want to make it look like, I mean, they're still dependent on one talismanic character like a Stokes to come good, probably. Because I think all the Asian sides are going to the spinners they have. I mean, whether it's Rashid or Moeen Ali, they're still dependent on the pace attack. I think the bowling is still definitely here. Point of concern for them.
We've almost covered half the sides, so we'll just quickly look at the remaining half of the sides. Maybe one quick word on each teams which haven't been doing that well. Sri Lanka with a point to prove.
I don't think they're going to be proving much.
With this part they have got.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't save 347 runs, you know, so they couldn't defend that in the warm-up match. So I really doubt they're going to go anywhere in this tournament. So, you know.
I think they'd have proved something if they get a point.
Yeah, true.
Like, is it a world record of the most wicketkeepers playing in a team?
Quite possibly. Delhi Daredevils are probably up there, even if you're not considering.
They won the world record.
Yeah, Delhi Daredevils have like 10 wicketkeepers, I think.
Because there are quite a lot in Sri Lankan team.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't. So, I think when you're talking about the main teams in the tournament, just like quick word, I mean, Sri Lanka, we've already spoken enough. And I don't think Bangladesh is great that they're here as number six. But I just don't see them doing any sort of damage at all. Australia and New Zealand. Australia have their own issues going on. I mean, two of the biggest teams coming into the tournament on in the backdrop of, you know, administrative controversy. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Australian team fares. But it's a ICC event, so, you know, Australia enter as the top two favorites all the time. You just, it doesn't matter what what is going on in the background. They are always the favorites. So I think discounting Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, all six teams have very good squads. New Zealand, of course, I think if Trent Bolt and Tim Southee do well, I mean, they're known to do really well in England. They have great, excellent track record there. So I would watch out for New Zealand, you know, and this is one tournament they've won in their history. So if it's not India, I would quite like to see New Zealand lift the trophy again. You know, it's always good to see the nice guys win.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Okay. And like you pointed out, the administrative controversy. So the team playing in yellow and green in administrative controversy and the team playing blue in administrative controversy. This feels like the 2006 Football World Cup all over again.
nice analogy there. Yeah.
Okay, but, so
those are the teams which could
four semifinalists.
The four semifinalists. Okay, yes, we'll just go around that and maybe try to wrap up from there.
Now, for me, I think from Group A, it's going to be England and Australia, and then from Group B, India and South Africa.
Okay, Sameer.
I have the same: Australia and England, and India and South Africa.
Okay, Srinath, any different?
No, all four the same. But I think one last thing I forgot to point out is I'm most excited for the Australian base attack in the Champions Trophy. It's probably the one thing that I'm really looking forward to, because all of Cummins, Stark, and Hazelwood will start. And they've got Patton's in as well. So all these guys haven't been fit at any point of time. And I don't think all of them will play together, but I think it's going to be really exciting to watch them bowl in English conditions. And I think they're going to challenge the narrative of regular 300-plus totals happening.
Okay. And
my pick for the semi-final is, I think it's the same long shot. I really don't think it's going to happen, but maybe New Zealand ahead of Australia in that group. But other than that, I think it's going to be the same four semi-finalists. Tariq, before you pick yours, I just wanted to add one point to what Srina just said. I really, 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 really hope that it's all not going to be 340, 350 matches with, you know, the it's getting chased down and, you know, it's going to be like 700 runs per match. Even if it means, you know, the bowlers, the matches are short and it's overcast conditions, I'd much rather take that over a 340 getting chased down. So I just hope that it's not the case. But
come on, more runs equals more clicks, man.
Good wickets. More runs get scored on good wickets, quote unquote.
Okay, so four semi-finalists pick. I mean, it's hard to look beyond India and South Africa in Group B, and like you said, Australia and England in Group A. But I think you'd want to give New Zealand a decent shout out there. So maybe it could be New Zealand ahead of maybe England out there, because I have a feeling Australia might just come out all guns blazing. And to add to Vinayak's point about the narratives of the matches, the Champions Trophy actually has been good at providing counter narratives to how ODIs have been typically, because I remember the edition in Kenya was particularly exciting. This continues in terms of some kind of a shot in the arm for the format, at least. That something different is possible rather than the monotonous 300 plus scores and being chased down.
True. And 2013 did have that. You know, we had a lot of matches where the teams batting first, I think, at least in all the India matches, barely made 200, if I remember right. And, you know, it was chased down comfortably, but that the additional part being, you know, they were played on proper overcast conditions in England. So I think conditions are going to play a big role. Kohli mentioned at the toss yesterday that in England, you know, the pitch is only part of the equation. It's how the things are up in the sky that matters more than the pitch. So even if it's a flat pitch and it's overcast conditions, we might end up seeing some good even cricket. So let's hope that is the case.
All right. So we're looking forward to a pretty terrific tournament, and hopefully we continue this discussion and this podcast through the tournament to bring you periodic updates and our takes on what's happening.
Come on, guys. Sachin. Don't close without Sachin.
If you're wondering why I'm saying don't close the Sachin, no, we have not been paid by Sachin to promote his movie. It's just that, Clive, you want to throw some light on the title of the podcast or how we named it?
Okay, so this is like a pun on God of Cricket. So we made it God of Cricket. Because I think
simple all but effective.
Yeah. And I think that was Vinayak Chalwar.
No, that was not mine. That is Srinath.
Oh, that's Srinath.
This was the doctor ordered, yeah.
But yeah, how many of you did see the Sachin movie? Did any of you here see the Sachin movie?
I did, yeah.
I know, me and Tariq and I did.
I did watch it.
I did.
So, Srinath and Clive are the odd ones out?
No, I did watch it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I watched it.
Because Clive
is probably wait for the Netflix release.
Yeah, they might add a few more highlight reels. You never know.
The box set featuring each of his 100.
Yeah. That might be the longest part of the movie, but okay. I'll just stop it there.
Yeah, but what do you think of the movie?
We've already, I think Vinayak and I have written pretty long discourses on it, but broadly, I think
yes.
Fairly enjoyable, except for the bits where it was slightly excessively cloying, maybe trying to cushion things a little too much, trying to maintain, you know, it was like if Frank Underwood would commission a documentary of himself, it would roughly come about that.
True. I mean, Tendulkar came out whiter than white after the movie, but I think we all kind of expected, but it was, you know, I had fun. I've already seen it twice. I'm not ashamed to admit, but I had fun. I mean, the music and all that was good fun. So I loved it.
Yeah. What I liked about the movie was like, it gave like, you know, that emotional joyride, like how India developed to like, not India developed along with Sachin. So that whole thing, true, you know, I felt was really nicely done.
It was very simple and effective, I thought. No, it was just a straight narrative, nothing fancy to it. So it played out quite well on the big screen.
Yes, yes. And they had no drama, nothing like Dhoni movie. So that was good.
Oh my God, yeah. At least it was not.
But I like the way, you know, they portrayed the emotions and, you know, like, I was going, like, you know, all the events. But one thing I was gutted was, you know, I didn't get to see that 175 inning with Sachin Tendulkar scored against Australia and Hyderabad.
Yeah.
Great innings of Sachin Tendulkar. And that wasn't shown. I was a little bit gutted. Like, oh, come on, they should have shown it. Yeah.
That I also consider one of the things I've seen.
That's the Chennai century equivalent of the second half of Sachin's career.
Ah, pretty much.
Yeah, the 136 was for the first half and 175 for the second half.
The result turned out the same way.
Yeah. I hope Srinath goes and watches.
Yeah.
Next pod, we'll ask you questions about the movie, Srinath.
I think we have kind of exceeded our quota of time now, so Clive will have quite a job on his hand.
Yep.
Down to whatever is the right length. But we hope all of you enjoyed being part of the discussion. I mean, by all of you, the ones listening in, I know all of us on the call definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
look forward to doing this again.
Yes, we certainly do. Hopefully we'll have more to talk about and more interesting pointers to bring in on part of cricket. This won't be as forward and as clean cut as the Sachin documentary. It's going to be a lot more messier than that, because that's the end of that. But once more, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Sameer, Srinath, Vinayak, and the brainchild of the pod, that is Clive. And this is Tariq, officially signing off from the
Vanilla
first
Wala.
Ever episode.
Vanilla Wala, yes.
at Vanilla Wala. So you can, speaking of, you can help us all on Twitter, at Vanilla Wala. Vinayak is at Vinayak KM. Sameer is at Hitman Cricket.
Yep.
All right. And Srinath is _EWS. And if you're wondering what that is, that's reverse. And of course, you can follow me on at Tariq Laskar, TREQVLASR. So until next time, everybody, we shall sign off from the very inaugural pod of cricket.
Finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup.